Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your other host, Biowolf.
And we're back after a week hiatus, taking off last week because my hotel internet sucked.
Worse than mine.
Yeah, it was actually... So we actually had a couple calls, and the connection was so bad when I hosted that it caused us to disconnect several times because of how bad my hotel internet was. So we bypassed doing any live shows last week. We did post our Hunt the Truth podcast for episode 7, which was episode 482, and we just skipped doing a regular show. So if you haven't checked out that podcast, I highly recommend you go do that, because this week, if you haven't been up to date with anything that happened last week, it's going to blow your freaking mind. So hit pause, go download the other one, and then come back to this when you're done.
It's just going to blow your mind a little bit.
Probably more than a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it.
There's a YouTube video that my friend posted up when I say it was mind-blown. This kid just starts screaming. And, like, it's like an animated video, but like this kid's head literally explodes and gets like huge, and like everything around him just goes flying out the door.
Okay.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Because that's not weird.
No, it's just not really.
Alrighty. To jump into things, I don't even know where we should start with this. I guess just start at the beginning. I guess that's any good place to start, right?
Yeah.
So from the last point that we heard of episode 7 was that Pharaoh actually got in touch with Ben after several days of not hearing anything. And then he found out some news about Walker, finally got caught up with Pharaoh, or she kind of scared him in the middle of the night, where we decided we would probably run instead of just stay and record it. But yeah, it's him. After that incident, Ben wakes up after panicked messages from Petra Janicek, the other journalist that he actually talked to when he was going to ONI the first time. Apparently there was this big news thing that happened. He was asleep. He didn't know anything about it because he actually didn't do anything. And so he called her back after he heard she left him messages to, like, "Did Ben, what the hell happened? What's going on?
What'd you do?"
Right. And of course, he had no idea, and she picked up on that. So she told him to go check his news feed because she didn't have time to waste with everything else that was going on. And it turns out there was this leak of the chief going and raiding a peace talk. And not just any peace talk, but a peace talk that had been in the works for years between human and alien ambassadors.
Chief kind of screwed things up majorly. Like, that's a big conference to go in there and kind of mess things up. It kind of makes you wonder what his motives were.
Yeah.
Like, just what was going on.
At first, though, he didn't really know what was going on specifically, other than just the headlines that was hitting every major news outlet. So there were thousands of publications and journalists reporting everywhere with headlines such as collusion with the enemy, civilian casualties, abducting a hero, assassinating icons. Stuff like that were just littering the public internet space. And he figured it was time to go check the source material. And since there were so many reports of it, it wasn't that hard to find. And it turns out a clip of Chief, or a security video of Chief raiding a regional embassy in the Outer Colonies, then taking out the bodyguard of the human representative, kidnapping him, and then escorting the alien delegation out to safety to an evacuation dropship, had been picked up, happened 10 days ago, and was released to the public, and now the public is in a freaking panic.
Yeah. People are freaking out, which is not good at all. Like,
you
sit there and spread something like that fast, and you're gonna have a reaction of people doing mobs. You're gonna have just riots. You're gonna have people sitting there killing people because, like, just because of people are psycho as it is.
Yeah,
that getting out there was not good by any means.
Well, and you have to think too, because he didn't use the term like Sangheili ambassadors or ongoing ambassadors or whatever. We don't know specifically what alien ambassadors there were. I would assume Sangheili.
I would think
based
so,
on
yeah.
our relationship with the Arbiter and everything that's gone on between the Kila 5 trilogy and with Halo 4 and what we know of the Arbiter's relationship with humans and that cooperation and everything there, that it would have been Sangheili. Other than that, it's really hard to say what alien representatives could have been there, but the fact that Chief was on the side, or presumably on the side of the aliens, supporting them, kind of made people flip out.
A little bit. It makes me wonder, like, because I was saying this earlier, it just makes me wonder, it's like, the elites and everything, if it was elites or Sangheili, like we're saying, you know, Chief is under the thought of we have a treaty with them, you know, we have a peace treaty with them, and maybe he found some sort of intel that would kind of make World War 7 happen, or maybe Oni is covering up something for this peace treaty, and like they're kind of maybe doing medical experiments. Like there's a lot of theories that could be passed around as to why what was going on. You know, yeah, it's a peace treaty, but what does that really mean? Could it lead into, you know, different things? We don't know.
And for the most part, you take that rational approach, and yeah, that kind of makes sense. But to the public, this is just mass panic.
Yeah.
This is something that you don't expect the savior of humanity, after all he's done, to all of a sudden take the side of aliens.
Yeah. Yeah. What people were probably thinking, now, you have these people that think with open minds or whatever, you're like, well, why is he doing that? I'm sure people are going to be out there trying to figure it out a little bit more. I mean, granted, yeah, you're going to have people flipping out, you know, civilians and humans getting assassinated, abductions, all these different things. The guy that saved countless lives over and over and over again, and all of a sudden is twisted and completely backwards compared to what he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are all these things we're seeing him do? What's causing it? That would be my first reaction is, why is he doing this? Like, what has the UNSC done to make him this person that he's not? Like, there's so many things that would be floating through my mind. Like, granted, I'd be freaking out if I was in that sort of situation. But you're looking at a super soldier that has basically blew up Halo rings. Like, he's done things that a normal human could not do. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have this guy that's going to sit there basically somewhat unstoppable, going there and doing these things. It makes you wonder, what's his next move?
Yeah, what his motive is. Why is he going through with this? And there's stuff later on that suggests some other things, not necessarily purpose-driven, but for some other reason, which we'll get to in a bit. But once Ben looked through the source material, once he found the clip of what everyone was talking about, and by the time that he found it, it had been viewed more than half a billion times, which is a freaking lot. He called up Petra. Oh, actually, let me step back for a second. After they left in the evac ship, there was something else in the file that said a day later, or a little bit later, they found a beacon in a local field where they found the human representative dead.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, no big deal. Some dissenters is dead.
Yeah, it'd be one thing just to kidnap him, maybe. I mean, that's one thing, but for him to just be abducted and then all out dead the next day in a field somewhere doesn't really bode well for this trust that humanity has in the Chief, his reputation that he's had in the past, and without knowing any reason why he would do that. And I mean, granted, the public doesn't really know anything better than he's a savior of humanity. He fights for humanity. Why would all of a sudden he be fighting for aliens?
Right.
And the same thing for the inner colonies, which is, these are protector, and now he's not protecting us anymore.
Yeah, he's kind of publicly executing everybody. It makes me wonder, though, if the senator and all these, you know, huge politicians and all these people, it makes me wonder, though, if they are who they say they are. You know what I mean? Like, it maybe they have this label, but they're like, they don't have the motives that we think they do. They have other things, the other scheming things. They're just basically puppets. There's an organization like Oni, for instance, like they have a lot of stuff that they're planning on, not necessarily as of right now, but this tree, like I said before, they have a whole bunch of stuff that's being planned. And that one step is to have this conference, whatever you want to call it. And Chief getting in the way is messing things up big time. And it makes me wonder, like, if he, like, because we never seen Chief in this state of mind. Like, we never seen him as lashing out like this at all. I mean, yeah, sure, we've seen him completely assassinate grunts, beat the crap out of elites, killing them, doing brutal things to them. But it just makes me wonder, it's like, A, what is going through his head as he's doing this? Does he have any sort of remorse? Does he have any sort of, you know, just anything? Like, maybe I shouldn't be doing this? Or is everything just straight driven to, I'm taking orders and I'm going to do what I got to do, screw what everybody else has to say type deal? It could go back and forth.
And that's one of the questions that get posed later on in the podcast. But another thing, too, though, is remember the Spartans were made originally to suppress the insurrectionists. And that also we'll get to in a minute. You take that into account. You take into account that he's possibly getting orders from somebody, or there's the other possibility that because Cortana's not around, he may be losing it. There's a bunch of different possibilities out there. And to your point about whether or not it's really for a peace treaty, if you take a look at the KO5 trilogy, you have Lord Hood trying to get the peace with the Arbiter and the Sangheili altogether, but then you have Kilo 5 trying to undermine and incite civil war amongst the Sangheili, and that's kind of the Oni side of it. So you have the UNSC, the UEG side of things, which by the sounds of how Ben portrayed this ambassador specifically was probably in the public eye a legitimate peace treaty, but Oni had some deep secrets rooted in it. So take it, for example, like, have you read the Kilo 5 trilogy books at all?
I've read one of them.
Did you read the first one?
I didn't. I think it was the second one, if I remember correctly. I went backwards. Like, I have to reread them all over again. So, gosh. But, I mean, I'm open up to discussion.
So, in the first book, they have Philip, Shadow, Shadow or Bree representative during the human presence on St. Helios when they were talking with the Arbiter and doing the peace talks. So, Admiral Hood was aware that Oni had some pretty shitty stuff, but he didn't really have a say in the matter, so they were there. He's trying to do the peace talks, which it sounds like this ambassador was probably doing, but there's probably some underlying stuff that through this peace treaty, whatever would happen during this meeting would lay some work in the shadows for Oni, even though it could legitimately be a peace treaty as far as both parties are concerned.
Right, and the one thing that makes me wonder, too, because we haven't really seen anything from him, is where's UNSC in all this? You know what I mean? Like, we're seeing three things here. We're seeing the journalist, we're seeing Oni, and we're seeing Newsies. We haven't seen anything with UNSC at all. You have Chief that's barging in, breaking in, doing all these different things. I mean, especially after that first initial idea of Chief going rogue, wouldn't this be a little bit more protected? You know what I mean? Like, when they have the UNSC brought in some form?
So, remember, this is in the Outer Colonies.
It's true. This is a big deal. Like, this is a conference that they, like I said before, like we've said before, this is a conference that they've been planning for years. And I'm sure they're going to have, especially in the Outer Colonies, people are going to sit there and rebel against it. You know, you have these people's mindset of, oh, these aliens have completely wiped out countless lives. They glass breached, they've glassed numerous amount of countries, worlds, whatever you want to call it, and we're just going to all of a sudden have a peace treaty with it. People are going to react. People, you know, extremists that don't feel that way, they're going to, you know, react. I would think that this would be a little bit more of a high priority, secure deal.
So we're not exactly sure, though, whether or not this peace treaty specifically was headed up by the UEG.
Mm.
I don't think there was any particular reference to it, and there wasn't anything to hint one way or the other whether it was just Outer Colonies doing this or whether it was a UEG front altogether. But since this was in the Outer Colonies and this is a representative from the Outer Colonies, it could be simple fact that Oni doesn't want this to happen.
Yeah, but that, I don't know. Maybe they don't want it to happen, but I don't know.
The podcast seems to suggest that this was organized for a very long time. It's been negotiated for a while, and it was hitting a pinnacle of an agreement. and then Chief just comes in and blows it down. So judging by the tone that the podcast is set in, and I know this whole hunt the truth thing really makes it to where you question everything, but I think this is one of those cases where this might be best taken at face value of what actually happened.
Right.
We've had rampant speculation on a bunch of things. I think there's only certain things we can make rampant speculation on.
It's one of those things, though, because we don't know what's going on. We don't have a clue. I mean, the only viewpoint that we're seeing so far is Ben's. You know what he's seeing. Like that's the like we have him looking through all this stuff. We've seen what Oni's done to him. You know, we've seen all this shady stuff that they've been trying to cover up. You have actors replacing dead people. You have people that are supposed to be dead alive. You know, we have a countless amount of really just weird things that happen. You cannot speculate about it. Like you just can't. Like you there's so much stuff going on between us. It's like, yeah, we know where Chief left off at 4. Now all of a sudden we're seeing in the news headlines that he's killing people. Like you're gonna have a lot of speculation, and it makes me wonder how, like, what's next in line. Like, you know, we have Chief doing this. What's his next move? What's the next news title that he's going to be presenting on whatever news they have at that time? You know what I mean? Like CNN, for example. Like, what's the big thing that we're going to be seeing from there? Is he going to be like blowing up worlds next? Like, I mean, there's so much stuff that could be going on.
And for the most part, people are scared. This first instance, and we have another one at the very end of the episode, but this first leak is enough to drive people to panic, to be completely mad, and just everyone is going nuts over just this one leak.
Yeah.
So much so that Oni's even responding to cutting off Ben's access to Waypoint.
Yeah.
He was in the middle of his call with Petra, and he lost her after discussing what was going on in the public, their image of the Chief now that they've seen this, and he gets cut off, and his little AI comes up and it says, your region is experiencing unusual high volume. Would you like to submit a repair request?
In 12 days.
Right.
Yeah. So Oni's is giving him the giant finger is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how one individual can cause so much chaos in this. Like, it just makes me wonder, you know, you have all these leaks that were coming out from, you know, him and Pharaoh and all these different things. It just makes me wonder, apart from these leaks, like, if he didn't do anything at all and Chief went ahead and did all this, it makes me wonder what people's thought process would have been then. You know, at least now we're getting some sort of idea of, like, there's some really shady stuff going on in the world, you know. Chief doing this is another prime example of that. I can't imagine not having these leaks out there, not people wonder.
It's scary to them. You see your hero, you see the person that saved the galaxy literally numerous times, just all up, completely take the other side, completely do something that you wouldn't expect. People are going to freak out.
Yeah.
Oni's freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, it's... It like I'm just thinking of it now. It's like I'm not bringing in anything like this. This is just an example, but like SEAL Team 6 or so, you know, people that this team that saved lives, people the heroic acts that they've done in the past, like all of a sudden start taking out presidents or, you know, taking out just people that people know that are big titles, like certain senators in the White House, different things like that. Like, this is the level of that. Like, this is a high, like, this is up there. And the fact that this is going on in the outer colonies, it just makes people wonder that are inner, you know, what's next? Like, who, like, are we the next target? Maybe a nuke could be involved. Like, there's so many things, like, especially with people with rational minds. Like,
yeah,
people overthink things, and that overthinking overthinks even more. And it spreads like a wildfire.
Rampant speculation.
Yep.
And if you remember from the last episode, one of the things that Pharaoh was talking about was trying to get people to panic, both in the outer colonies and the inner colonies.
Yep.
Look what's happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing that really makes me wonder, too, is who's covering Chief while people not finding him? Like, if that makes any sense. Like, let me kind of rephrase that. He goes in, he takes these abductees or whatever, he abducts them. Wouldn't there be some sort of tracer? Wouldn't there be some sort of, like, anything to kind of track where his whereabouts could be? And then someone just ends up dead in the field. Like, I would think that would, like, I would think they would try to find him. You know, at least have some sort of idea of where he went by following his ship, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy that he can just vanish.
So, I don't know this for a fact, but I'm going to pull kind of an example from New Blood. One of the reasons of them not installing kill switches in Spartans is because, like, they don't want other people to take advantage of it. And at the time, they didn't want the insurrectionists to, like, reverse engineer or take advantage of being able to take out Spartans and discovering this ability. So there's a certain amount of autonomy that they were willing to risk. And by making it to where, we've seen in the books where Chief is able to turn off his friend or foe tag. So he's able to disable certain aspects of his armor.
Right.
And at the time, I mean, that was something that you really probably didn't worry about.
Yeah.
So likely, no, there's not something that they could override.
I don't know. I would think being in that far of a future, they would be able to track things a little bit more. Especially a Spartan that they've put, a project they put millions of dollars into, especially Oni. Like, they have tabs on everybody, it seems.
Pretty much. Next thing that we have is Ben basically closing up shop and moving, which he admits he should have been doing for a while, given that he was been working out of his house for however long he's been doing the story, and Oni just finally made him pull the trigger on doing it. So he had one location that he knew of, met up with his contact, and got online. And lo and behold, when he did get online, he had a nice little message from Mashaak. That bastard that frickin' just left him from throughout that last episode for a week.
Yeah. I love Mashaak as a character. I'm liking him more and more and more.
This is Mashaak.
The fact that he's getting under Ben's skin like that is just... It's like the antagonist. Which is funny.
He's that one person that you love to know, but he's a pain in the butt to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah, I know several of those. they did a really good job. Like, the voice acting they're doing from Mashaak, they're doing a really good job for it, too. That whole replay message thing when he was trying to contact them, like, then it switched to a new one, and then that made it, like... That was funny.
You like that, huh?
Oh, that was hilarious. I couldn't stop laughing when I heard that. And the thing is, it's like, I've had people do similar things, not like in that instance, but like they played pranks on their mm-hmm. phones. Like, I'll be calling them whatever, and they like, hey, what's up, or whatever on their voicemail. And it's like, you're trying to get a hold of them, trying to get a hold of them, trying to get a hold of them. And like, all of a sudden, like, it changes or something. And it's like, ugh. And Ben's reaction was spot on. But yeah, Mashaak's a unique character in this.
He's the perfect character for this.
Oh, yeah.
I love what they've done with the characters in this. It makes it so easy to dive into this. It really does. Although I will say, some of the reactions that we get out of Ben in this seem a little amateur for someone that's supposed to be a journalistic veteran. Like when he was stumbling to respond to Petra of what happened, and when he was talking with her before Oni, and then whenever she stormed his house, just the way that he responded seemed very juvenile, very amateur for someone I would assume that would be in his position. And maybe that's just me, but it just seems that this the only character, I guess, flaw really that I've seen in Hunt the Truth, but everything else has been spot on.
Oh yeah, especially at a time where Ben gets his ass handed to him. that was great.
That I still want to see that scene acted out, and whether it's like CGI green room or Blur Studio comes in and does it, I still want to see that, because that was amazing. Just hearing it, like, if there was a way to visualize that, like actually have a video of it, that would be awesome.
Oh yeah, that'd be insane.
Have it like on the like a bonus cutscene in Halo 5 or something.
Yeah, have it like an end credit scene or something.
Something. So after hearing from Mashaak, he managed to get a hold of him and was happy that he was around, that nothing happened to him, but of course he scared the living daylights out of him, that he just all up went nowhere.
Yeah.
One of the things that he managed to get for Ben while he was away, and one of the reasons why he said he couldn't even tell Ben where he was going, was some super, super, super secret stuff. Some really secret stuff.
NDA. All that good
More
stuff.
More than NDA. the second level below the third sub-level basement type stuff is what he said.
Basically a sniper rifle to the head if anything gets out. Just gonna basically.
Okay, sure. One of the things that he found, or what he did, was after Mashaq listened to Ben's last episode, when he actually talked to Anthony Petrovsky about what happened and his theories and all the kids and the clones dying off, is that he researched every single case of where clones that had the similar disease died.
Is where things start getting interesting. Real interesting.
Yes, very interesting. So he called it, and I'm trying to see where I typed it out, exotic pediatric autoimmune disorders.
That's a big word.
Well, it's multiple words, but yeah. He did a search for that, which is the same case that John's clone would have had. Plotted that up against a scatter graph of the known galactic inhabited space of humanity, and then population densities. And one of the things that Ben noticed was that the selection wasn't random. In fact, it highly favored the outer colonies. Specifically, the outer colonies where ONI was trying to suppress insurrectionist uprising.
Hmm.
That's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, a little bit.
So the implications of this all comes down to how ONI treats and sees the outer colonies. And we've known this for a while. If you've read the books, you know that the insurrectionist has always been this kind of rebellious force against the inner government of humanity.
Basically anarchist, in a way, kind of.
Not necessarily anarchist, but I mean, the term that Ben or Mashaq used was basically people going out there and fighting for their independence. And you have ONI wanting to come in and quash any of that, squash that word, any of those efforts to gain their independence. They wanted to have control. And going on a little bit later, after he found this info, he kind of supplemented it with when the insurrectionist was happening, when they were looking for their freedom from the Central Earth government, ONI was all up in trying to suppress any of that. But then when the Covenant came, they completely backed out, let Covenant glass all the outer colonies.
Yeah, which is nice. Very, very nice thing to do. It just shows what kind of people ONI are. Like we keep on saying that they're just scum of the world in a sense. Like they're always up to their thing. But that kind of just shows where they are with things. Like they want the total control, but yet they're not going to sit there and willing to sit there and sacrifice anything. Mm-hmm. When things are getting glassed, people, millions and millions of people are getting fried alive. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So they'd rather give up that power real quick. It's a really crappy situation.
Well, to them, to ONI, the other colonies are expendable.
Yeah. Yep.
They have a lesser value on life in the outer colonies than they do for inner colony people.
Right.
An interesting perspective that Mashaq actually tells Ben before he puts up the scatter graph is that depending on where you live, you perceive this leak of the Master Chief very differently. For the inner colonies, they see the Chief as going rogue, let loose, completely out of control. Whereas the outer colonies, you hear them talking about more of that distaste for ONI, really.
Yeah, kind of. It's weird to see that. It really is. It really is interesting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can kind of see whose teeth are hooked into who, in a sense.
Right.
I mean, you got. It really is. Like, I love what they're doing with this. I love that you have two sides of the coin for this. Like, that's something that's been tossed around throughout this entire thing. There's always two sides to each coin, and it's interesting to see how they constantly doing that throughout this entire thing, like hunt the truth. But yeah, no, it's I'm gonna be perfectly honest, I'm kind of with the outer colonists, if I'm going to be perfectly honest. I'm kind of more on their side, if that makes any sense.
Knowing the story, I think we all are, though.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We know what's happened, and when we get to the later part in the episode, we know the implications of the suggestions that Ben is coming to, and that Pharaoh is saying, and that Mashak is saying as well. It all falls into place based on what we know in the books and what we know from the full expanse of the universe. And that's one of the benefits that we get for people that have read the books and know all that stuff. It's one of those things that we can glean on. And that's one of the reasons why I want to get your friend on to see what he thinks about all of this.
Yeah.
Because it'd be really interesting to get a fresh perspective of what is going on with Hunt the Truth for someone that really doesn't know what's going on in the universe as a whole. Having that external viewpoint gives you a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for? Perspective into everything that's going on. It gives you a reason to know why things are happening the way they are. And for people that don't know, this is completely new. It's almost like they are living in the universe.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what was really cool when had all those people submit all those clips. I love the fact that you have to put yourself in a mindset of you're living in this situation. You're living in this kind of world that's going on, and you're seeing these things. And it was awesome because a lot of people express themselves as they kind of are in real life in a way. And it was really interesting because one of my friends, he's an amateur voice actor, but he puts a lot of time and effort into learning a certain character. And when I told him about this, he about freaked out. He was all over it. And the cool thing was that when he recorded about 50 different ideas, but each one of them was always going after Ben, showing that he has no business doing what he's doing. It was really interesting to see that he hasn't read any of the books. He hasn't done anything about the books. He knows about the game. He knows what Reach and Four and all of them are about. He's listened to all the podcasts up until, I think it was, what, 6 that they did that? Or 5?
Okay.
And he listened to all those. And it was interesting to see what he was thinking when he actually put his voice into it from that perspective. It was really, really unique. But it was, I think getting my friend on here is going to be a pretty interesting conversation because he wants to read the books. He's a lore nut when it comes to stuff. Like, he gets really deep with like a whole bunch of Star Wars and all that. But what's going to be interesting too is I know that he's going to read the books after talking, because he's told me he's going to read the books after this.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be interesting to see what he thinks now and what he thinks after.
That would be really, really awesome.
Yeah.
Because that's just a complete opening of the doors to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
Talk about one big spoiler, one big revelation.
A little bit.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. One other thing that Mashak brought up, which I think is something important to mention, is the way that the UEG treated the outer colonies, basically, like only paying attention to them and their usefulness in certain situations and then completely ignoring them in others, is the same way Oni is using Chief. So in the case that's happening right now with the leak, the UEG used the outer colonies whenever it was resourceful for them to get resources or whatever. But then when it came to the Covenant coming and glassing them, they completely just left them alone. Same thing for Oni. When Chief was useful, they used him. But now since he's gone rogue, they're completely denouncing him and trying to cut any associations with them because he's gone rogue.
Well, in a sense, he's gone rogue.
Yeah. One of those things to consider.
Yeah.
After the talk with Mashak, he wasn't super convinced that the senators would believe all the massive details, but he still thinks that the implications of what Oni did, taking up children trained to be soldiers to fight the insurrectionists, might be big enough of an impact to at least get them thinking and asking questions to Oni to expose some of the stuff that was going on. Especially the fact that they were trained to fight the insurrectionists in their own homelands.
Yeah. You put anybody going into your own homeland, you're going to have a reaction.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're going to have...
Well, to them, they didn't know any better.
Well, no. I mean, but I put it like this. If someone's going to be sitting there going on your land, you're not going to sit there and just let them do what they want to do. You're going to kind of go at them with guns blazing.
Right. It's one of those things that it's very disturbing. And that's the whole point of Mashaq really telling this to Ben, is it's ammo to use against Oni whenever they go talk to the senators, whenever this meeting is going to happen, if he still manages to get in there. One of the other things that Mashaq did before they split, though, was bring up some other info, some super, super digging that he did, where some of the clones didn't actually die like they were supposed to.
Hmm.
Yes, very curious. And it just so happens that their Spartan kidnapped counterparts met them in person.
See, that's weird. That'd be so weird. Could you imagine you growing up being this super soldier? You know, you have the mindset of what they do, and then you have the other part of you grown up, you know, not you, the ones that survived growing up and living your life. That's really gotta mess a lot of stuff up.
It's disturbing, because someone else was plopped into your life and lived the life that you should have lived. They grew up knowing their parents. They grew up with, I guess, some kind of education, some kind of happy future, where they were kidnapped, abducted, and put into this training. You meet an exact replica of yourself however many years into the future and realize that someone replaced you in a life that should have been yours.
Yeah, and I mean, the outlash that would have probably happened. I mean, A, the clone doesn't have an idea. You know, the person that was abducted, the Spartan that was abducted, has an idea. You know, one day I was here and the next day I woke up somewhere else. You know, it was like that. The clone doesn't have an idea. It doesn't have a clue. It's basically the memories that were implanted. You were literally living that next day when the other guy got kidnapped. So I would think, out of both reactions, I would think the clones would be a little bit more shocked. You know, like, the fact that you're learning that you're not a human, you're not who you thought you were for, I don't know, 15, 20 years, 10 years, whatever it was that they, you know, grew up to be for, that is going to mean, like, it'd make me wonder, what would the clone do? Would it go into, like, a mental crisis? Would it, like, break down? Like, it's crazy. Like, I know the Spartan or whatever is going to be, well, you know, this fake me was living my entire life, but I would think I'd be a little bit more interested in the clone, because it wasn't made the same way a human is. It's just transferred memories to replace somebody and pretend somebody that it's really not.
We don't know, though, if they think that they're the clone or they're not the clone. As far as they're concerned, they could be the original and someone cloned them.
It's true. Yeah, but wouldn't there be... Well, it just depends on how the conversation went. If there was a conversation.
It's hard to know, because we didn't get many details.
Yeah.
What we did get, though, is Mashaq telling Ben that the Spartans that discovered their clones committed suicide.
Ooh, that's kind of tragic. That's horrible.
Both cases of Spartans meeting their doppelgangers both committed suicide.
That's rough.
Scary, right?
I mean, like, it's one thing if one of them did. You know, there is two, in a sense. Like, this is really sounding horrible when I say this, but at least there's one of them still alive. Like I say, as bad as it sounds, one of them is still alive. But the fact that the parents find out that the other one is still alive and both of them end themselves later, that's horrible. That's beyond imaginable.
Yeah. We don't have the technology today, so I don't know what I would even do in that situation, let alone the moral implications of it is still highly debated amongst people today.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know
how. I don't know what you would do.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't know what to do myself. Like, I would have that mental thought of, am I the clone or am I the person? What is it, a twin? Like, why didn't my parents ever tell me? Like, you have
all this. It's like that Schwarzenegger film.
Yeah, The Sixth Day.
Yeah.
When he's like flashed or whatever because he fell off the cliff or where. I don't even remember how the story plot. I know exactly what you're talking about, though. But yeah, no, it's like, would you still have that press memory though? Because like in that particular movie, they had the last memory of them dying or whatever. It just makes me wonder how far back did Oni set their memory for him? Like how close did they have these memories from? Like maybe the like night before they were abducted? Maybe they're just asleep. It just makes me wonder what.
I don't know what you'd do in that situation.
I don't know. I would honestly probably go into a mental shock. Like I'd probably just go into some sort of coma because like you gotta look at it like this. It's not natural to see yourself as yourself. If that makes sense.
Exact copy of yourself. Not a twin. Not a brother.
The exact but same copy of yourself.
Right.
Like you have the same birthmarks, you have the same, you know, increases, indentations, like you're the exact clone copy of yourself. You walk into a store or whatever and you see yourself the exact same way. I mean, granted, if I was a Spartan, I would be a little bit more buffer, I would think, you know, have a little bit more muscle tone and all these different things. But like
your face.
Well, right. Like you're seeing your face the exact same way you see yourself in the mirror. Like people would lose it. People would honestly lose it. And I think I can understand where the whole committing suicide thing goes into play.
Mm-hmm.
Like I do. Like I completely understand that.
I don't know. Just the implications it's really, of that is astronomical.
Oh, dude, it's a crappy situation. It really is. Like the fact that Oni was willing to, well, it was Halsey that did it, but like the fact that it happened and things were let happen like that, that's horrible.
So
it really
that's another
is, like,
interesting thing, though, is because it was Halsey that did it, and we know that because of the Killer 5 trilogy, but the way that Pharaoh is putting it, she doesn't know that it was Halsey's specific idea to do it. As far as she knows, it was Oni's.
Right.
I mean, this is probably the one and only time where Oni isn't directly guilty. Granted, it was still their idea to kidnap kids and put them through living hell, training them and augmenting them, and then making them fight their own homeworlds. I mean, that was all Oni.
Oh, yeah.
The clones, though, when it comes to that story, the clones is the icing on the cake.
Yeah. I mean, it's so hard. It really is. It's one of those things where the person was thinking of the families. That's how it was looked at, and more harm was done than they intended it to happen. I mean, they weren't thinking of the repercussions of kids dying, you know, the clones dying from almost the exact same thing. You know, you have all these people, and then the clones that did survive, they're meeting them, their flash self, like the people that they were made from, they're causing even more havoc because A, there's two of the same persons, the people, the parents, the families, the friends that thought that person was the same person they knew the day they met them, and then that one day changed everything. They don't have a clue. And the fact that they're finding out there's two of them, that would not only sit there and blow the two that were affected by it, but it would also mentally drain everybody that was involved with that. The families, the friends, everybody. Like, everybody would be in such a shock. Everybody would be in such a panic. You know, who's next? Who's the other person that was cloned? Is there another one of me? Like, there would be so much stuff going on that it would probably do more freaking out than anything else. And it blows my mind that these stories weren't out there even more, like on CNN News or whatever their galactic, like national news, like
galactic
everywhere.
News.
Yeah, like yeah, there you go.
Right.
Yeah, like galactic news, and it's just a story. Like to me, that's mind boggling. Like there's nothing more than oh well, this was just an incident. You know, like it was a local news that captured that, you know, that to me that's messed up.
Ben kind of mentioned something along this line earlier though, where Spartan activity was usually regarded as completely unknowable to the general public. If you see a Spartan there, he's there for some reason or another, and you usually don't know what's going on.
You're really meant to look away.
Yeah,
it's basically what you're supposed to do. You're not even supposed to question it,
right? Because I mean, it's the Master Chief. He's the freaking hero of the galaxy. Who would bother to even question him, really? Then you have something along the lines of this, where he's completely going off the rails, you can't help but not question it. And that's what people are doing. They're freaking out. They're panicking.
Yeah. I mean, when more and more of this stuff gets leaked, when these clones get leaked, when everything's open to the public eye and it's trending, it's going to spread more fire than it's going to do good. That's as simple as that. Their plans of taking Oni out, it's going to happen, but it's not going to be pleasant. It's not going to be simple. It's going to sit there and ruin a lot of people's lives. It's going to completely put everybody in some sort of panic to where there isn't going to be any sort of control. People are going to, regardless of what people say, they don't care. You know, we're getting all this information of this organization doing these things. You know, what's the next thing they're doing? What are they plotting now? What is it that we have to worry? What's next? You know, is my kid going to get abducted? Is, you know, were they already abducted before? Like, you have so much stuff that's going to cause such even more of a panic than it already is. It's going to mess a lot of stuff up.
Yeah. At this point, though, the Spartan program is a little more public. They have the Spartan Force, and everyone in the UNSC pretty much knows about the program.
Well, right. But there's a, like we said before, like if this wasn't public knowledge and this was hush-hush for how many years, what else is out there? You know, you maybe this is just my mind going on a complete tangent, but maybe engineering super soldiers from advanced alien DNA from elites, you know, maybe chemically enhancing them more than what we've seen with Spartan 2s. Like, there's loads of different things that possibilities of what could honestly that like people are thinking that could be happening.
I suppose it's hard to know given what we know already.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we know already, but you got to look at it from their standpoint or their viewpoint. They don't know what's going on. True. They're getting this stuff fed to them, stuff that's online, leaking online. You're going to have the skeptics, the people that this can, you're going to have the people, oh, this is just a conspiracy theory. This isn't real. Mm-hmm. People that don't have any sort of idea of, oh, this is just fake. This is just out there so it can cause even more of a panic. And it's exactly what it's going to do. And you have the people out there that are looking at it, oh, well, we need to help take this out now before it spreads. You know, there's nothing else out there. And then you're going to have the people, like the insurrectionists, that are going to get pissed. And they're going to completely, they don't care. They're going to go on a rampage and just destroy everything that they feel that they've been betrayed on. So you have all these viewpoints. They don't know what's going on. We do, from the viewer eyes of Ben and all that stuff, we understand, but
well, Ben doesn't really understand at least why the chief is doing it. And technically we don't either.
No,
that's the one thing that we really don't know. We've known up to this point about the Spartan program, about everything that Oni has done to abduct kids and to send them out and everything. We know that part. We know that they were sent out to fight the insurrectionists. We know that they were there to fight the Covenant when they attacked Earth and yada yada yada. But as far as what we know what's happening now, this is actually some new stuff. This is quote-unquote current day in terms of like current as far as we are in the Halo universe. This is current day events.
Right.
This is a little into the future ahead of escalation, but this is basically the most up-to-date thing that we've had in the Halo universe. Like, this is the latest point that we've ever had. So we are learning some new things here. So we honestly don't know what's going on. That and the mysterious things that are happening out in deep space.
Yeah, people don't know about that, though. Like, can you imagine? Could you imagine what people's minds would be going through if they found all this out at once? Like, that's a lot of information. Like, oh, Chief's killing, you know, senators, taking them, beating the crap out of him, whatever he was doing, then he left dead. We have all this stuff about the Spartans and Oni. Oh, yeah, there's a gigantic threat in the middle of the universe that could potentially kill everything and everything. We don't know anything about it. It's just getting bigger, and it's a huge threat. That would basically ruin humanity at that point. There wouldn't be a sane person left on this Earth.
No.
And, like, could you, like, especially if the government had any sort of, like, yes, this is going on.
True.
People would freak. Like, could you imagine, like, what were your first thoughts are? Like, say, for instance, you pop on a TV right now. Oh, gigantic black hole sucking everything into the, it's killing everything. Mm-hmm. I'm sucking in stars, galaxies, everything. And the Milky Way galaxy probably has about a year until we all get sucked up. There wouldn't be, no one would care. No one would do anything. I mean, granted, we don't know what it is just yet, but people are going to expect the worst.
Hmm.
No, but this is just me going on a tangent. I apologize.
The next thing that happens is Pharaoh actually gives Ben a call after all of this happening for the day. The leak, talking to Mashaak, moving shop, everything. In the middle of the night, no doubt, Pharaoh reaches back out to Ben, asks him if he's enjoying the show, and he says, "No, no, I don't. I don't like what they're saying about my Master Chief. I don't like it that they want to cut off his head."
Yeah, no.
I don't like it that the outer colonists are in an uproar.
Nah. Anybody that's in anything that's in an uproar isn't that good at all.
Nah, he's completely against everything that's happening to Chief right now because he knows that Chief has saved humanity numerous times and he saved the galaxy, the entire galaxy he saved. And the fact that Master Chief's image is being just destroyed by this one leak doesn't sit well with Ben.
Mm-mm.
And Pharaoh comes out and is like, "Well, what do you expect? This is what happens when people's hero goes off the rails and goes rogue."
Yeah. You can't expect a complete, like, no reaction at all. Be like, "Oh, all right, whatever. Live your next day." People aren't going to expect that. You're going to look at the guy that basically saved the annihilation of countless lives, then he's taken the lives that he saved. That doesn't settle well with people.
Nope. And he's blaming Pharaoh for the Chief's image being tainted because she's the one that leaked the info. And she comes back and says, I didn't do anything to smear his image. All I did was release factual information. Not targeted specifically at Chief, but to get people to think about what is going on with Chief, that he's off the rails, that he's no longer taking orders from Oni. And this is where I mentioned a little bit earlier where we should probably be taking things at face value, because as far as we know, Pharaoh is probably the end-all be-all who knows what the hell is going on in this story. Mashaak is kind of there. He's that, like, deep undercover person in that sub-level basement under the bottom floor that's underground of a office building or whatnot. He equates Pharaoh's knowledge as in below the Earth's crust in terms of deep, dark shadow secrets.
Yeah. He's the guy that kind of understands what's going on, that gets slipped something every now and then just to kind of contain it. But if I was in his situation, I'd be going nuts too. Like, this person that is spreading this, the person that he has the information for, that he put his name on, it got to make you wonder, is like, what else does she know? Or this individual know?
Oh, and she knows a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Her pile of dark secrets is probably a mountain compared to the anthill that's Mashaak's.
Mm.
Probably.
Yeah, a little bit. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how things unfold with her. Like, what's next? Like, she spreads this, then what? She disappears? Does she, like, does she continue with this? Do we see her pop up in certain other things? Like, it makes me wonder what's next.
And we find out what's next here in a minute. Because of another leak. But before we get to that, Pharaoh points out that Ben actually helped lay out the table for all of this with his podcast. He started planting the seeds of people starting to, at least in the outer colonies, renew their distaste for Oni because of everything that happened before. And now you have this blowing up in their face. And to Pharaoh's point, she's trying to expose that taking children at a young age, then train them to become super soldiers and Spartans, leaves psychological damage. And that the Chief is possibly becoming mentally unstable. And that's why he's going on these rampages and doing all these things that he wouldn't normally do.
Yeah. And that's a scary thought. There really is. Like, that's a scary, scary situation. Like, anybody that's mentally unstable, they're not thinking. And especially with someone of his size, a person that has so much knowledge of military stuff, like tactics, different things like that. I mean, we know that he knows somewhat of Forerunner stuff. You know, we don't really know exactly how much stuff was implanted, if anything was implanted with him when he seen Librarian. You know, like there's all that stuff. Like that's not even public knowledge. That was just something we seen. It just makes you wonder, what could he do? What is he capable of doing?
And for someone in that position, someone who's made galactic decisions for humanity that big, having a liability to someone being mentally unstable, having deep-rooted psychological issues, is a huge risk and liability. And that's exactly what she's playing off of. Yeah, it might suck that Chief's image is tainted, but that's only for the short term. In the long term, is going to be Oni's complete disregard for the Outer Colonies and everything that they've done in secret in the dark that's going to make that long-lasting impression and focus everyone's anger on Oni. As she explains it, it's a heavy cost to pay causing this chaos with what the Chief is doing, but in the end, he's going to be vindicated and Oni, the real bad guys, are going to pay.
It also makes me wonder this, too. It's like, they're going to pay, and for let it be, say, for instance, that they get taken out. Like, Oni's done. People find out everything that's going on, everything's said and done. What are her motives to get rid of them? Is she planning to take their spot? Like, is it a power thing with her that she's going to try to do this? It just makes me wonder, it's like, what are her motives to do something this drastic? I mean, like you said before, we're taking this for face value, but it really makes me wonder. It's like, she has the power to sit there and spread this like this. What else is she planning on doing that Ben doesn't know? Because he doesn't know who she doesn't. He doesn't have an idea who she is, what she's up to.
Nope.
The only thing that he knows is she's just using his information, his story, leaking it everywhere, and it's causing a hellstorm.
He's being the platform that this information can ride on to cause a tidal wave.
Yeah. Yep.
And to your question, the thing that Pharaoh also brings up is this is the way that they're creating the chaos that they need. And it just so happens that the chaos was big enough to where that meeting that she mentioned has already been scheduled.
Yeah.
That meeting between Oni Brass and UEG senators has been scheduled, and people are already on their way back to Earth for this meeting.
Yeah. It makes me wonder. It honestly makes me wonder if we're going to see Chief again with this whole deal that he's doing with taking out senators. It makes me wonder if this is just another part of the plan. Maybe this is just theory. This is a speculation on my part. But maybe this is a plan that is kind of triggering Chief to take out this. Like, maybe he's another part of this puzzle to create this chaos. Like, yeah, he's getting this bad flack, but his next move is to do exactly what he just did on the Outer Colonies, but in their colonies.
Oh, and he's going to be in some deep crap.
Yeah, the future of Oni isn't looking that great.
No, not really. Not really. So, with the meeting scheduled and everything, what Pharaoh plans to do with Ben is, once he's able to kind of hurriedly get all of his info together, taking everything that he learned from the shock, all that stuff, they're going to get a secure direct line to the meeting. Pharaoh's going to make that happen for Ben. And one other thing that he, because he wasn't very sure that he could get everything pulled together in time, an idea that Pharaoh had was to get Anthony Petrovsky, the one ODST that survived little onslaught with Chief in the ring, get him on board with the idea of taking out Oni. So they called him alone. Right.
His motive is to take out Oni.
Ben called him up, had Pharaoh listening in, and he asked him straight up, "Do you want to take down Oni?" After several moments of silence, very awkward and disheartening silence, Anthony came back and said, "You bet I want to do it." So he's on board. Pharaoh's happy. Not before one last little leak of information. one thing that Pharaoh just wanted to give Ben a heads up on that was going to happen, and you could sense that Ben was like, oh no, what are you doing now? Oh crap, oh crap, oh crap, oh crap. Going into panic mode. And he's asking Pharaoh, what's it about? When is it going to happen? Then she says it just did. So literally during that conversation, posted this little leak. Took a little while for it to pop up on this public feed. But nonetheless, a feed from the Peace Consulate on Biko showed the chief, seemingly unprovoked, just shooting up the place.
Whew. Oh, man. That's, yeah. That's crazy. Let's just create a little bit more chaos as everything's going on.
A little more panic to just ensure that all the pieces keep going.
Yeah. Must be nice to have that kind of power, just to throw up something on the internet and it completely go viral, and then it actually turns up messing with so much. That's crazy that she has that kind of power.
That's more power than Oni.
Yeah.
And it's so powerful, in fact, that it even gets to the inner colonies.
Yeah.
That's how bad this is.
Yeah. It just takes one match to ignite in the 1,000-mile fire, dude. Like, one little spark can create more than people can imagine. And I have a feeling this isn't even close to what she has planned. Like, this is just the beginning. Like, what's next to come is really going to set things off.
Oh, yeah. We already have everything going in line for the meeting. That's all going according to plan for her. Everything is coming together from the Oni brass being called in. The senators going there. Ben has a truckload of information that he has just a couple of days to organize and get together. And it sounds like the very near end of this podcast is going to be him laying out all this information. I'm going to guess either the third or second to last podcast is going to actually be the talks happening.
Yeah, the meeting. And it just makes me wonder, too. Oni didn't have any idea that he was going to be this much of a threat. It makes me wonder how much they're going to retaliate. Like what are they going to do with him? Because if you can't have a loose cannon like Ben Giro out there right now. You can't. Like, he's done this. Can you imagine what he can do next? That is, if Oni doesn't get shut down from everything that's going to happen now. Like, yeah. it makes the safe house or wherever he's going to be better make sure it's, like, under 10,000 miles of, like, stone or something.
Yep. That's it. That was our massive dump of a show, of an episode.
It was crazy, man. I think I can easily say that was the best one yet.
Hands down. Hands down. I can't think of another episode that would have been... Oh, man, this is good. This is really good.
Oh, yeah. And the thing that's really crazy is I didn't really expect this podcast, this audio series, I didn't think it would be this good. Like, when I first listened to it, it was sounding really good. You know, they did a really good job with the audio quality, and, you know, they had an interesting story. In the beginning, it was slow. I will admit, it was slow. You know, you're looking through all these different things. And then the part where Oni told him to come in, and then he met Chief's, I can't remember his name, the guy that trained Chief.
Mendez.
Yeah, Mendez, he was talking to him, and then you had Soli basically tell him all this stuff, and then, like, that he got drugged and he got all this different stuff. Like, it's just lit up from there, I think. Like, and it's just crazy. And we only, what, we have 4 weeks, 3 weeks, somewhere around there for until the last two episodes, or the last episode.
We have four more episodes. Four?
Okay.
Let me count.
I think it's four, yeah.
One, two, yeah, four episodes left.
Crazy, man.
I know, right? It's going to be so exciting.
Not finale. Half finale is going to make people wonder, what? And then E3 is going to come around, and it's going to make me wonder what 343 is going to put on that stage to kind of tie things in.
I don't know, But it's going to be exciting.
Yeah.
Going to be so exciting. That is it for our episode tonight. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. For those of you who tuned in on Twitch on the live stream, we're going to be giving out a $10 Xbox Live code here in just a few minutes as we wrap up. For those that are listening to us downloaded through iTunes or Zoom or some other podcast aggregator, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to us as we cover this Hunt the Truth podcast. It has been a blast following this, and we hope that you guys continue to follow along with us until we reach E3 and the conclusion of this audio series. But until then, I encourage you guys to go check out our website, poddeckler.com, and while you're there, you can go check up on our forums where we have a thread discussing everything that's happening in Hunt the Truth, all the implications, all the assumptions that we're making, all the predictions that we're having of who people are, what's going to happen next, yada, yada, yada. We'd love to see you over there on the site. Please check out our social networks. We are on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, which just released our Achieving Halo episode 5 last week. We're also on Instagram and, of course, on Twitch doing our live broadcast, which is our Hunt the Truth episodes, our regular shows on Thursday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and our matchmaking game nights, or our custom game nights, depending on whether or not Xbox Live and matchmaking and parties are behaving on that particular night. We have those running at Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time as well. So there are plenty of ways for you to get involved, and we would love to get in touch with you guys, interact with you guys, and just get to hear what you have to talk about Hunt the Truth, or come and play with us, all that good stuff. Make sure you check out the podcast network, that is thepodcast.com, where you can listen to other podcasts like Guardian Radio, which is a Destiny podcast, Critzcast, which is a TF2 podcast, The Learning Cliff, which is an EVE Online podcast, and then Work in Progress and How to Murder Time. Please go check them out. They are great podcasts to go listen to. Great quality, great content, great hosts, great everything. So if you're looking for some other podcasts to fill your work day or just kind of pass the time, definitely suggest listening to those. Also, we are highly, I guess at this point it's safe to say, we're looking at doing a Kickstarter for something very special at RTX regarding our 10-year anniversary. Hopefully we'll have more details on that next week, as we finally get the pieces together for that. So we hope you stay tuned, and we hope that you'll take a look at it when it comes your way. And if you're coming to RTX, hopefully it'll be something that you will get to enjoy to the fullest.
Exciting stuff.
Very, very exciting stuff. Until next time, keep on fragging dirty secret Oni leaks.